Good morning. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning and I actually saw sunlight, it made me very happy. I had almost forgotten what the sun looked like. Not really. I actually got blessed on Monday. It almost seemed like just by my house was sunny for like 5 hours. Because I was out in my vineyard loving it. And then I talked to other people later that day, like, well, I didn't see the sun. I thought, whoa, a huge blessing from the Lord. 5 hours of sunlight. It was nice. This morning, I would like to read Psalms 146. And I guess the focus is praising the Lord. And then we're going to do something a little different, maybe stretching for some. I'm just going to read this and then go into a time of prayer, and my idea and hope is that we can get our focus on the Lord. We're from here we go into worship, and so sometimes, I don't know, there's things might be hanging on during the week or whatever, just have a time to focus on the Lord, to pray, to get our mind and our heart right to enter into worship. So we're going to do a time of that, short time, maybe 4 minutes. And then go straight into worship. So Psalms 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keep faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, time of prayer, I think, too, is another big thing is in our minds, magnifying the Lord. We have problems. God is bigger. Sometimes our problems just seem bigger. The more we focus on how big God is and that he actually has it, the problems don't disappear. They just shrink. And you have that peace about it's going to be okay. So if you guys want to stand, sit, it's okay. When I was over in Kenya years ago with Pastor Rob and Pastor Verl, we'd sit around in a circle. And if they're going to pray for something, like here, most of the time we have one person pray and everyone's kind of like, we always kind of like agreeing. Over there, everyone just prays at the same time, out loud. And everyone's praying. So that's kind of what I'm envisioning at the same time. It's not a have to, but just if you have something too that's like really a burden that you just kind of doing, grab someone around you, ask them to pray for you to lift that burden before we enter into worship so that we're free, we can fully appreciate our God and how big he is and how much of a blessing that is to us. So, I'm not sure if I should make people stand so they feel like they can stand, and then if you want to sit, I think I'd do that. Have everyone stand, but if you want to sit, feel free to sit, and feel free to pray out loud. Feel free to be silent. It may be silent. Like I said, this is different, the stretching, but this is where I felt led to go this morning. And then I'll wrap it up and have the worship team come on up. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much. Praise your name. Lord, we do give you praise and thanks. And we just look forward to your spirit being here and the fellowship we have with one another and encouragement that we would see you as you are, as holy and big and in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, if you could come.
Thank you.
Okay, let's worship.
Captured my heart with this love.
Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. And seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. With my every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you.
There is none.
the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever. The highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever.
Lord, thank you for that reminder. You will always be holy, holy forever. Thank you that we could come today and worship you. I pray that you'll just be with the rest of the service today and bless every single person here today. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we just lift up Pastor Jason this morning. Just look forward to hearing what you have to speak through him. And just give you praise. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Country Christian Center. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who was and the one who is, and he's the one that is yet to come. And that is why we are here. We get together and we encourage one another, and we had a good time of encouragement this morning at breakfast. And we look forward to see what God is doing every week. I'm excited to come and to be able to hear testimony of what God has been doing in your life. It's always fun to come and hear what's going on. And now we're going to look into Scripture again. We're going through the book of Acts. And just to kind of recap where we're at, so Paul and Barnabas, they've come back from their journey, and some of the former Pharisees have been telling the Gentile believers that they need to follow the law of Moses, and specifically they were talking about being circumcised. You need to be circumcised, otherwise you can't be a true believer, and this has caused quite a stir. And so they have sent people to the council to try to come up with a conclusion and an answer. And that's kind of where we left off. They've come up with a conclusion, and they are writing a letter to the people, to the Gentile believers, telling them what their conclusion is. So we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 15 and starting at verse 22, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter this morning. Acts chapter 15, starting at verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Father, thank you again for your word. I pray that as we look into it this morning, that you would open our eyes, open our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So they've been debating and they've been talking and they've been sharing, and this council was quite the group of people that were trying to make this decision to figure out how they were going to respond to these Gentile believers. All these people that Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey had led to Christ. They were excited. The Holy Spirit had come and had filled them, And now there's people that are trying to tell them, hey, if you're not circumcised, then you can't be a believer. If you're not completely following the law of Moses, you can't be a believer. And so these people understand what's happening. Paul and Barnabas are understanding what's happening. And so they got together and they're trying to come up with a conclusion on how to answer. What's the answer to this? And so this is what they had come up with. They came to a conclusion, but you know, they didn't want to just send a letter and have them read it. No, they wanted to send people that they knew. They wanted to send somebody that could actually physically be there and share this news with them so that they could help them to understand what was being said. And I think that's really important that to note that they were willing to send people back there and share this word with them, share this letter that they had come to the conclusion of. They wanted the Gentile believers to hear from someone they knew. Sometimes that makes more sense. If you have come to a conclusion, you've been working with somebody, and you know, sometimes in today's world, we might just say, you know what, I'm going to send a text message out, and I'm going to give my answer, because maybe it's easier to write it down and send it than it is to meet them face to face and say, this is what my decision is, and this is the way we're going to go. And you know, in counseling with some different people, one thing that's really interesting is I always come to the idea of, you know, we have phones. Well, okay. We have phones that are made that they're supposed to be able to call people. And unfortunately, they don't do that very well anymore. But we can text people. But texting is a way of sharing information. Texting is not a way to get to know somebody. And so when this conclusion was made, they could have just sent a letter with a messenger and had somebody there, a local, stand up and read it. But they didn't do that. They wanted to show up in person. They wanted to deliver it in person. And just the one thing that I take from that is when you're interacting with somebody or you have a business dealing with somebody or whatever it might be, or a disagreement with somebody and you have come to a conclusion, you want to work it out, do it face to face. Don't send a message. If you want to write it down and read it so you don't forget what you're going to say, that's not a problem at all. But do it face to face. If we're trying to build relationship with people and we're trying to get to know people, but yet we're afraid to stand up and talk to somebody face to face, then we got some work to do. And so they're sending somebody that the people would know to share this information, which was exciting to them, but they wanted someone that they knew to come and share it. So they had come to this conclusion, and I just read through that, and they said, we heard about the people that are trying to tell you this and tell you that you have to do, and this is not what we said. This is not coming from us. This is these, I call them ex-Pharisees because that's probably what they were, trying to get people to still live by the law. Even though they had accepted Christ, they still just couldn't quite get past that they didn't have to live by the law. So we, as council, being in one accord, we've come to an agreement on this, and this is what we decided to do. I want to read Galatians chapter 5. Verses 7 through 15. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, don't read into that too far. That's kind of interesting what they're meaning possibly right there. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty only. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So what's happening is they're trying to talk people into still living under the law. And it says, even if we don't have to live under the law, it doesn't mean that we go out of our way to irritate people, in a sense, for lack of a better word. We don't go out of our way saying, hey, I'm using circumcision because that's what they were using. I've been circumcised, but you haven't been, but But oh well, that'll probably be okay. No, come on, don't hem-haw around that. That has nothing to do with it. We don't have to live under the law. We're living under grace. But it doesn't mean that we go out and try to offend somebody by the way that we do things. Just because it's okay for me, if God is still working in your heart, because you have believers here that these people are thinking, well, they still need to follow these things of the law. Were they any less saved? No, they weren't. And the people that were living here, the Gentile believers that didn't follow all these things under the law, they were still saved just the same as these other people were. But there was an irritation that was happening here. Let's not be that way. Let's not live in a way to irritate people. Are we irritated sometimes? Absolutely, sure we are. We get that. We're human. But let's not do it on purpose, I guess is what my point is. These things are more, in their letter that they wrote, these things are more important than being circumcised. If you keep them, you will do well. There's four things that it said. I got to get back to the right verse. Abstain from things offered to idols, which this had been common for a lot of years. Don't be taking stuff that's been offered to an idol. From blood. Why is blood such a big deal? Because life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Stay away from the blood. Stay away from strangled things. And the last one is from sexual immorality. Now, in the world we live today, that last one, sexual immorality, nobody really wants to talk against that one very much. Doesn't seem like. But it's wrong. It's one of the four things that they mentioned here. All of these things of the law, no, they're not, it's not that they're not important, but we don't need to follow all of those in order to accept Christ and know who he is and have him as our personal savior. But here, these other four things, if you follow these, you do well. You will do well. And that's in there. And in today's world, sexual immorality has been made fun of. It's been made light of, and it's not been made a big deal. And let me tell you, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And I hope and pray that as we raise our families, we can bring that point across to them that it is a big deal, because it still is. If you do these things, you will do well. The people, when they heard this letter, they were excited. They gathered the multitude together to share this with them, and when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. So the people were encouraged by what they had come, the conclusion that they had come to. After the news was delivered, they all stayed in Antioch for a time. Now, we don't know for sure how long they stayed there. It doesn't really say how long they stayed, but can you imagine what was happening while they were there? Because it said, now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back. So they stayed there and they shared and they preached and they taught and they encouraged and they discipled, whatever they were doing. What a time that would have been. Can you imagine? It doesn't really say what they were sharing. It doesn't really expound on how long they were there sharing, but they were there sharing, and they were sharing the good news of Christ, and they were encouraging people and they were exhorting one another. And that would have been an exciting time. I think that would have been an exciting time. But you know, it wasn't for them to stay there. Have you ever been in a situation where we all do it, but we get into something that's comfortable. We come to church here every week. We sit in our pew. It's comfortable. We don't really ever have to say anything. Nobody really asks me too many questions. And then when it's over, we can go home. And we get comfortable. And I don't know about you, but it's really easy to get stuck in a rut. And I'm not sure, excuse me, about all of you guys, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but we sit in the same pew every Sunday. And if you try to take my, no, I'm just kidding, won't go there. Try it. Sit somewhere different sometime and see what happens. You have people coming in looking confused. Because we get comfortable. We get comfortable, we get stuck in a rut. Now, these guys were preaching and they were teaching, and the people there could get used to this. This is great. We've got these big names coming, and they're here, and they're staying here for a time, and they're sharing, and they're preaching, and they're exhorting, and they're teaching, and they're encouraging, and they're doing all these things. But you know, it wasn't for them to stay for the rest of their life. There came a time when it was time for them to move on. It can be easy to get used to the comfort of having these men that were there, but they needed to return to the people that they had shared the gospel with. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. Now, a question that I have, because I just was looking at this and thinking how they could have got stuck in a rut and gotten used to this and not wanting them to leave and not wanting to send them on and not wanting to encourage them or bless them as they go. Are we listening to God if God tells us to get out of our comfort zone? Isaac, what you did this morning, maybe that was one little way of getting out of our comfort zone. Is God asking, are we listening? Are we willing to listen if he asks us to get out of our comfort zone? Because we all have one. We all have one. It might be different for everybody, but we all have a comfort zone. We all have things that we're comfortable with, and we have things that we're not comfortable with. But are we listening if God is asking us to step out of that? What is it for you? What is it that's comfortable for you that if God would say, hey, would you do this? You might say, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do that or not. And the question is, I don't know if I can. The question more probably is, I don't know if I want to. Because sometimes I don't want to. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I don't want to get away from what's easy or simple. But that isn't why we're here. We're not here to get stuck in a rut. We're not here to get in a comfort zone. So with these men teaching and preaching and sharing, and that's exciting, and things are happening, and people are probably more people are coming to know him. But you know what? It was time for them to move on. It may have been easier for them to stay in Antioch because it might have got comfortable for the people that were sharing, for Judas and Silas that were there. And then it also says that Paul and Barnabas stayed for a time and shared well as well. And it may have gotten comfortable for them while they were there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. And if Timothy comes, this is Paul talking about Timothy, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Are we willing to send people? You know what can be difficult sometimes is if we have people that we get used to being with and we get used to fellowshipping with and we become good friends with, and then God calls them to do something different. He calls them to go somewhere different. That is hard. But if that's what God is calling somebody to do, I want to be all for what God is calling someone to do. And can we be excited? Can we send someone out? Can we do it and send them out prepared? Rather than trying to hold on and maybe eliminate or not allow what God is wanting to happen. After they had remained a little longer in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas decided to go back and visit all the places they had preached. So Paul, well, let's see who it says. Paul was the one that said, we need to go back. Barnabas, we need to go back and we need to go visit all of the places that we shared on this first missionary journey. We need to encourage them and see how they're doing and see how what we can do to help, or maybe we need to exhort them or critique, whatever it might have been. Let's go back and let's follow all of them and let's contact all of them again. And as they were getting ready to leave, Barnabas thought that they should take John Mark. Now back in chapter, I believe it was 13, John Mark was with them at the beginning of their journey the first time, and he up and left, went home. It doesn't really say a lot of why or what happened, but he left and went home. Now, Paul is remembering in the back of his mind, and I don't know what he's thinking, but they had a disagreement. Paul and Barnabas had a pretty sharp disagreement here. And Paul, if it would be me, I'm just thinking through things how I would, and I would be like, you know what, that dude left us the last time. Let's not have him go again, because we get halfway into our journey, and he's going to take off and go home again. I'm not taking him again. That's the human flesh side coming out and saying, I'm not doing that again. Barnabas was pretty sure that he wanted to take John Mark along, and this created quite a disagreement. And so I don't think it should be any surprise that there was a disagreement here between the apostles. Why would, they're still humans. They still live in a broken world. They live in a redeemed world, but it's still broken. And they're going to have disagreements. And they did. What does it say in Acts? It says that the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. They were not agreeing. They weren't going to agree on this. And so I'm paraphrasing here, but here's what happens. Barnabas says, hey, we got to take John Mark with us again. And Paul says, absolutely not. He's not going where I'm going because of what he did the last time. And so they argue or they discuss this between the two of them. And pretty soon Paul says, all right, go ahead, take him. You can go that way. I'm going this way. I'm not going with you anymore. Now, we can look at that and say, whoa, what in the world? What's going on? Can't you work through these things? But we can also look at it and say, but look what God did with that. Because instead of one missionary journey, there were two now. And there were two directions that was going, sharing the gospel with people. And so there was a sharp contention here. But God even takes that and he turns it into good. What they were disputing or what their contention was about, was it wrong? No, it wasn't. Did it have anything to do with presenting salvation? No, it did not. It had to do something with how Paul had been treated. Now, that's at least the way that I'm reading it. Was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. But they didn't agree. But what's really interesting, though, to me, is that you look farther into the New Testament, you look in Colossians. Let's read just a couple of these. Colossians 4 and verse 10. This is Paul writing again. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Indicating that that issue had been settled later. But at the time, the contention, it was a, what does it say again? The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Now, I don't know, we find ourselves sometimes in disagreement with some people. We will. If you haven't, you're going to. But you have. I know you have. But God is still at work. And let's not let things that shouldn't be a big deal become a big deal. This is about John Mark. This is what they were disputing about, was John Mark. It was another person. But God took that and he said, all right, what did it say they did? So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, went a different direction. So instead of one journey, one group, one pair of people sharing the gospel, now there were two. And they were going different directions, and they were going to share the gospel with twice as many people. So when we find ourselves in situations in life that we're not sure what's going on, maybe, just maybe, God is trying to multiply the effect that we have. Maybe. Maybe he's trying to multiply it. Was one right and one wrong? Nope, they were both right. They were both going to share the gospel. Their purpose and their goal was still the same, exactly the same. They didn't settle that dispute here. They just parted ways. But God took that and used it greatly. created two missionary teams to cover twice as much ground. Paul and Barnabas were still serving the same Lord with the same purpose. They weren't fighting against each other. They were still working together because they had the same purpose. And that was to share Christ with everybody that they met. That was to share the gospel wherever they went and whoever they ran into. I want to read Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For him whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And we know that all things work together for good, but that verse doesn't stop right there. To those who are for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Where are we? Don't give up hope. You find yourselves in situations in life that we don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle things. Maybe there's a dispute and we part ways and we go different directions. We're both still serving. The point I want to make is that we need to make sure we're still serving the same God. We still have the same purpose. We still have that love for people, for one another even. It's not that Paul and Barnabas lost their love for each other. They just had a disagreement and parted ways. They still had the same purpose. They still had the same goal. They were still serving the same Lord. They were still sharing the same gospel. But God took that and he used it. And he used it in a mighty way to share his love with a lot more people. Now, when we are in situations like that, and we can't always see that, and we don't always understand how that's going to work or what it's supposed to look like. These people were excited. This letter that had been sent, they were excited about what had come down, and they didn't need to follow this law. They could live under grace. Yes, the law is still important, but that's not what we're bound by. A couple things that I want to remember from this morning is that we can follow the whole law. I mean, it's impossible. We can try to follow the whole law, and we can miss the whole point of the cross. Because when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. And now, like we read in Galatians, it all comes down to you love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing else. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what it boils down to. The law, yes, we can still try to follow some of the law, but we live under grace today. And I'm so thankful that we get to live under grace today because of what God did for us. And as we work with people, because we're living life, and sometimes we think that if we didn't have to work with people, it'd sure be a whole lot easier. But if we weren't working with people, we'd be missing the whole point of why we're here. Because we're here to share God's love with people. I'm going to have the worship team come back up, and we're going to sing, if they're here somewhere. We're going to sing the song Enough, because God is enough for us. He's more than enough for us. In all the things of life that we work through and we have to deal with, he's still more than enough. If you want to stand while we sing and worship one more time before we close. Father, thank you again for your love. Thank you, Lord, for just the examples in Scripture that we can look at, we can read and study, and hopefully we can learn from and we can take home and we can apply to our lives this week. Father, I pray your blessing on each one that's here. I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide give us opportunity this week to share your love with people. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than
Lord bless you all. Have a good week. You are dismissed.